just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Silly old ram thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and blessings to those with eyes and ears. This is Jerry Kirk. This is the Gathering Offering. This is the ninth of 26 weeks of a little offering course that is being put out for you. And today would be in pagan time, March 4th, 2010. In the Lord's time, this would be the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the first month, the 12th month and the 31st day of the 12th month. Isn't that interesting? We're right here, and I'm saying this is the last day of the year, and that tomorrow, starting at 12 noon, will be the first day of the year. Think about that a little bit for a second. Now, at the beginning of every one of these little adventures, I have a responsibility and a duty to take place. And so I shall begin. Our Father who art in heaven, I praise you and I bless you as I praise and bless your only begotten Son, the Christ. Today I ask you, Father, to ask for your forgiveness of our ignorance, our arrogance to not do due diligence, our arrogance to just accept what we're told and not to question those that are supposedly our authority. Forgive our arrogance, Father, and let us begin to stand up and become independent individuals, both men and women. Thank you, Father. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, last week and the week before, I may have made an error with being unclear with some of my discussions. I had said that everybody needs to become eyes wide and look at everything before they take any action. That's not exactly true. What I did and what I offer to people to do is to do your notorious declaration first. Declare your jurisdiction under the Father. Work out the rest of the steps as you go. That's what I did. I did not make that real clear in the past, and I want to let you know that I think it's very, very important for you to declare your jurisdiction under the Father, under his laws, and your master to be the Christ, his only begotten Son of the Father. Okay, I apologize for not making that real clear, but sometimes, you know, we all make errors. All right, now this week we're going to do something that I will challenge you to ask around and challenge yourself whether you have heard of the information that's going to take place today. Now, we're starting Chapter 4 today, and the title of Chapter 4 is An Arrow in Flight, Straight Down the Middle, shortest distance between two points, a straight line. I wonder what the two points that we would be wanting to have the shortest distance and a straight line. Would that possibly be from this physical existence up until maybe like the Supper of the Lord, maybe up into what we call heaven? Wouldn't that be a nice straight line? Wouldn't that be the shortest distance would be what we're going to start to discuss. Now, I'm going to read a couple verses to you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord, your ever living, which I command you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Another verse. According to the sentence of the law, which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgments which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee, to the right hand, nor to the left. Deuteronomy 17:11. Ever get in front of a judge and he passed a sentence on you? Some point in time, the Lamb of God is going to pass sentence on each of us. He's the judge, the jury, and the executioner to either positive or negative results. Talking about the sentence of the law, and most people, they want to talk right real quick about how do I come out of federal jurisdiction, how do I come out of state jurisdiction. They're talking about law. The way you come out of the federal, corporate, state jurisdiction, Babylon, is to get under the Father's law. We're going to do part one, part A of chapter four today. And it's entitled, And You Were Told There Were Ten. Want to bet? Okay, now you're going to have a real hard time following today if you don't go to your Bible and open up your Bible to Exodus chapter 20. You really need to do this. While I'm visiting for a minute or two, get your Bible. This is not going to be easy without you being able to read your Bible. Exodus chapter 20. Okay, in the beginning of when everybody wants to do something, it's because they perceive there's a problem. And they think that the world has really gone to a condition of manure. And so they say, I got to do something. Something's going wrong. I'm motivated now. My life has gone down the toilet. Okay? And everybody wants to point at everybody else. They want to point at the government. They want to point at their neighbor. And I constantly stress to folks, look in the mirror and look at yourself. Point the finger at yourself and you will generally start finding the solution. Now, hopefully you've gone to your Bible, to chapter 20 of Exodus. And at the very top of the page, you will see outside of the text, this is in the King James at least, in italics, the Ten Commandments. When we read in chapter 20, it never says, these are the Ten Commandments. It just starts off and says, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then it starts off with the very next verse, listing commandments. Okay? I mean, one is what I just read you. The next one is so forth. You keep right on going. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to go down to verse 17, and you will see, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Okay? And that's where the general society, everybody says, well, see, there's Ten Commandments. Right there, see? There they are. Okay, now go to verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Slide back to chapter 19 of Exodus and go up to verse 18 and read that verse. Take a second and read that verse. I'm going to take just a second here. You go ahead and read that verse. Now come right back to verse 18 in chapter 20 and see how verses 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22 were removed from chapter 19 of Exodus and stuck in chapter 20. Now, when this little adventure today is over, go back and reread in chapter 19, verses 18 through 23. And you will see that the verses 18 through 22, see how confusing this is with all these numbers if you don't have the Bible open? They were removed, 18 through 22 in chapter 20, were removed from chapter 19 of Exodus. You do that. Do this exercise yourself when this adventure is over. And then, when you're done with that, go back to chapter 20 of Exodus and read verses 23, 24, 25, and 26. And you will see that there is a total of 13 commandments right there in your Bible. There's not 10. All your life you've been deceived. Do this exercise. Wake up. Question authority. And then ask yourself, why? Why have people been doing this all this time? Well, it's pretty obvious. If in verse 23 it says, you shall not make me gods of silver, neither shall you make me unto gods of gold. Have we made our silver and our gold, just in the plain sense, as a god to us? Do we try to acquire it and have a bunch of it? Or do you be someone like me sometimes? See, about 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, my stepmother got into a condition and she had 3 1-ounce gold Cougarams. So one of my brothers got one, another brother got one, and I got one. And at that time, a gold Cougaram, 1 ounce, was worth $650. And I was living on $600 a month. That's a lot of money to me. So what did I do with my 1 ounce gold Cougaram? I went down to the hardware store and I bought a very fine brand new file. And I came home and I took a white plate and I filed off enough gold to fall on that white plate. And then I wet the end of my index finger, made a little pile in the index of my finger, and I put that gold under my tongue. Wow, and I just let it stay there as long as it would. Do you ever go to the book of Enoch and read where it says, it talks about certain metals, and it talks about gold and silver, and it says, and these metals were not originally meant to be for monetary purposes. The original intent is to have gold and silver to be a healing item for you. But, of course, you wouldn't get that if you weren't paying attention to, the 11th commandment. In actuality, I tease with people at certain times if I feel a little bit off, like, you know, maybe my system's a little run down or something like that, or maybe I feel like there's maybe a little congestion in me, I go over to my gold Cougaran and I file off some gold and I put it under my tongue. Of course, the next day, I've got some of the most valuable poo probably in the state of Arkansas. Supposed to be a little humorous, but in actuality, we are supposed to be using gold and silver for other purposes. Now, of course, we have other types of gold and silver idols, and we shouldn't be doing those. Now, look at verse 24. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. thou shalt sacrifice. Of course, that word sacrifice is supposed to be offering. What kind of sacrifice would it be if you're following the Father's law to take a sheep or an oxen and have a big barbecue? That's what you're doing with it. People say, oh, well, they were doing blood sacrifices. No, they were eating the food. They were having a big, giant family barbecue. It's amazing. People say, well, those blood sacrifices. Well, what was blood sacrifices? Read the book. It says cut their throat, let all the blood drain into the dust of the ground, and then cook them up and have a party. That's an offering. Everybody getting together and having a good deal. Of course, you wouldn't, you know, if you didn't have that altar of earth and you didn't have this verse 24, you might not be thinking about your four feasts that you're supposed to be having a year, every year. Now you move on down to verse 26 in chapter 20 of Exodus. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Now, isn't that amazing? Steps. We go into places, and we have these leaders, and they go all walk up steps, and they're looking down on us. Does that make them sort of like elevated? You know, we're down in the crowd. We're looking up to them. They're the authority figure. We're looking upwards to them. It's kind of like a psychological thing, maybe. What about these Masonic Lodge guys, Illuminatis? Don't they have steps? They call them like degrees. Everybody says like there's 33 degrees. Quite frankly, I think there's a whole bunch more than that. I wouldn't be surprised if there's, you know, over 100 different degrees. Lots of steps. There's something in there about don't have your leader. He's standing above you. Why shouldn't he be standing on the same level as you are? He wouldn't be walking up looking down at you. A little psychological thing, might be a little more to that, maybe. It's 13 commandments there, ladies and gentlemen. You got to think about them. And if you don't think about them, then you're in dire trouble because you're not going to do due diligence. Now, let's look at the standard 10 commandments that they put out for you. And, you know, everybody's seen a copy. That common version has 159 words. 159 words. If you count just the so-called Ten Commandments as they appear in the Bible, there are 409 words. See, 159 for the dumbed-down version, 409 in the Bible. This is a reduction of 61%. Over 250 words have been removed. Do you think you might have some verbiage that might be important in there? Let's see. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. Cover thy neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. It doesn't say that in the regular Ten Commandments, does it? But let's do the real quickie version. We could just, you know, hey, you know, forget about all that extra words. And we wonder why we get in trouble. Have any of you got the balls to stand up the next time you go to your church or to your services, whatever you do, and ask your preacher, why are you teaching us 159 words when there's 450? Have any of you got the balls to go to the church or to the next any type meeting and stand up and say, look at this and just read this? By the way, I forgot to mention you can go to freedom-school.com and download, you know, this week's offering. And you can get it all printed out right in front of you, and then you'll have it for like a cheat sheet. You don't have to do all this work yourself. That's part of my job, just to save you some time. Can you, when you go do this, are you going to be talking to a real leader or are you going to be talking to a leader of profound ignorance? Because that's what the leaders, most of the leaders of this country are. Leaders of profound ignorance. But you know, some of them need your assistance. And if you fail to give them assistance, how are they going to learn? How are they going to tell the rest of their people that they know? you, by standing up and doing this, will demonstrate some courage, and by this action, you will gain courage as well as give courage. When you go out and do something, you go, man, I got butterflies, I'm getting ready to do this, I'm not sure. And I'm, you know, what's everybody going to say about me? Because I'm gonna be the only one out of 100 people going to stand up and point this out. Well, you go forward and you do it, and when you get done, you're going to have two or three or four or five people come up and say, you know, it took a lot of guts to do that. And you're going to get yourself a little bit, you're going to say, wow, I accomplished something. Now, there's going to be 40 or 50 people say, who cares? Well, they don't have eyes and ears, and I don't care about them. So why should you care about them if they don't have eyes and ears? We're only trying to reach people with eyes and ears. The ones that don't have eyes and ears, they're not going to the supper. They're Canaanites. Or they just don't care to open their eyes and ears, and they're going to do a redo down here. Whoops. Got it a little advanced on my thinking there and talking about a redo, huh? Okay, there's a little bit about your 13 commandments. I'm going to read you a verse. For what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before ye this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Deuteronomy 8 and parts of 9. All right? Now, you can look these up. What nation is so great? Well, is this nation that we're in right now so great? I mean, can anybody tell me that this is a great nation? Multiple wars, baby murdering, satanic worship, homosexuality on every corner, corrupt criminal legislatures, black robes in Washington, D.C. that are nothing but political hacks, a president supposedly of the United States that won't even put forth his birth certificate, spending millions of dollars to say he's, you know, hey, I'm really a legitimate guy. Well, you know, hey, if I was legitimate, I'd walk up and say, here's my birth certificate. I was born in the United States. Look at the crime. Look at the drug usage. Look at our children. Look at the majority of children in the cities. They're all dressed up gothing. They've got rings in their ears and their noses and their tongues. Black fingernail polish. This is a great nation. You call that great? Nah. Why are we not so great? Did we turn from the judgments? Whoops. In this verse 8, that has statutes and judgments so righteous. Now, what good is to have commandments if you don't have a judgment? A judgment's a penalty. Let's see. We don't want people driving 100 miles an hour down the road, so we pass a law that says you can't drive 100 miles an hour down the road. So you're driving 100 miles an hour, and a cop comes up and stops you and says, hey, I'm giving you a citation for driving 100 miles an hour. But he doesn't act, there's no court, no fine, no jail sentence, no nothing. So, cops are going to be really busy chasing everybody down. There's no fines, no penalties. Oh, let's see. Shouldn't rob a bank, but you go rob a bank, they catch you, and there's no penalty. You don't even have to give the money back. Same thing in the father's laws. It's ridiculous to sit there and just say, well, here's 10 commandments, kids. There's no judgment. Think about that a little bit. Think about that. What about, let's say, thou shalt not kill? Now, in actuality, ladies and gentlemen, it said, thou shalt not murder. The Father's law requires us to kill when somebody does something incorrectly of such a grievous nature. So, the word right there in your Bible, thou shalt not kill, is very, very wrong. It says, thou shalt not murder is what it should say. We are to kill those that murder. Murder is laying in wait, planning it out, doing something egregiously wrong. Now, in our society, an individual can go out there and murder your husband or your wife or your daughter. And then they can come in and say, get a psychiatrist and say, well, I was insane at the time. And they get off. Now they got to go to a mental hospital for a few years and then they reevaluate them and let them out. Or maybe they just say, well, you know, he had temporary insanity and he's going to go to jail for 30 years. And now we have to spend $50,000 to $75,000 a year to keep that murderer in prison. Now that's a real deterrent, isn't it? Got caught murdering your husband or your wife or your daughter or your son, and he goes to jail for the rest of his life. Gets three good meals a day, gets medical insurance. I mean, he gets good medical, he gets surgery. He gets psychological evaluation while he's there. Oh, he's got to stay in that building, but, you know, they do all kinds of things in there, too. But he's still alive, and you're having to pay for it. How does that make sense? Can anybody explain that to me? It doesn't make sense. But you know what? If that man walked out, had killed your, and there's good witnesses, and he killed your husband or your wife or your daughter or your son, and you took him down at the county square at noontime, and you killed him, and the whole county got to see it, and they put it on TV. The next guy that thought about murdering somebody would have some kind of real deterrent, wouldn't he? We ain't going to do this no more. Look at that. They're killing people for murdering. How about that? Want to see crime start going bye-bye in your society? Start following the Father's judgment. He says to kill them. Not murder them. Kill them. Difference. You kill somebody that has done something egregiously wrong. What about robbery? Someone comes in and robs your house. Takes your life savings. You got $8,000 cash. And they take off with your money. That's your life savings. They get caught. They go to jail. And you don't get nothing back. You don't get your $8,000 back. No, what do? They spend $50,000 a year to keep him in prison. But they don't give you your $8,000 back when you got robbed. Hell of a society we got going on here, folks. Let's spend $50,000 to $75,000 a year for a guy that stole $8,000 out of your house. Wonder why we've got such a great manure nation? Because we're not following the judgments of the Lord. This is chapter 4. This is right dead in the middle of chapter 7. Straight down the middle. Let's call it like it is. Let's start telling everybody, we don't want any more of this. Join you on the other side. Thank you.
Problem's just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Paths Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from firstamendmentradio.com. Order online today at firstamendmentradio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jerry Kirk, and this is the second half of the ninth week of 26 weeks of offering. And I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears, to those with the courage to open their eyes and their ears fully, to see with your eyes, to perceive with words that come into your ears. I remind you of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The majority of individuals on the North American continent are fools. There's nothing that anything can be done about that. When you sit there and you hear people on the radio shows and the TV shows say, well, we need to get a majority of people to be able to do something. Those are quitters. Those are non-starters. Those are people that don't have any guts or courage. You start one man, one woman at a time. And yeah, you take a little bit of abuse from the naysayers, the ones that will be weeping and gnashing their teeth. But you know what? when you take a rock-solid stand on the Father's laws, everybody knows exactly who and what you are, and that you're not going to be a giver-upper. They know that you're a man or a woman of your word. That is what I respect when I run into somebody that is solid, has done their due diligence. I don't respect people that just flap their gums. I respect people that go out and take action. They don't need 10, 100, 1,000 other people. They need themselves, and they need their master, the Christ. Returning to this judgment stuff, in Exodus you have chapters 21, chapter 22, and chapter 23. Three entire chapters on judgment. 100 verses. And yet, no word is talked about that. Let's go back to one of them in chapter 22. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. Wow! Someone comes and steals your cow, he's got to pay you back 5. Well, what do you do if he doesn't have any money? Well, it's real simple. He now becomes your servant. You put him in a little bitty cabin. He gets to eat 3 times a day. You feed him. You treat him decently. And he works. And he works. And he works. Until he pays you back 5 for 1. And if he decides to boogie out of there, oh, I'm tired of working here. You know, I've been working a month, only paid for 1 cow. I'm going to leave. Well, what do you think the law says about that now? Maybe you chop his foot off, or maybe you just kill him. Because now he's shown that he doesn't want to make restitution. You know, hey, there's one more bad guy out of the society. He's gone. Now, what about this part in the past I said to talk to you all about? Thou shalt not respect any person. Well, you know, if you've got a whole bunch of money in our society, let's think about like O.J. Simpson, the Dream Team lawyer team. He got off, didn't he? What do you think happens to a poor man? He goes to jail. You know, under the Father's law, it doesn't matter how much money you got. It doesn't matter if you're the nephew of the governor. Ah, well, we're just going to look the other way. Uh-uh. Everybody gets the same exact equal treatment. That's the one thing I really love about the Father's law. Just because I got money and you don't have money, or vice versa, we get the same treatment. And guess what? You're going to start following the straight arrow, the straight path, because you're going to get examples of people do wrong and what happens to them. When you fail to keep the Father's law, and you keep changing this and you change that, you have to ask yourself, well, which one of these father's laws did he write that he thought was just poppycock? Which ones did he say were, you know, these are my laws and you can just ignore? Who gave you the authority to do that? You just take it yourself and say, yeah, I'll just do whatever I want. Oh, golly, it was my son that went and robbed the liquor store. We need to change these laws because it's my son. You ever hear about spare the rod and spoil the child? Wonder why we're having trouble? Because we keep becoming namsy-pamsies with everybody else? You know, it's my son. We got to change this law. That penalty's too harsh. And then you get satanic worship. You get homosexuality on every corner. You get our children walking around with ear, nose, tongue, and God knows what other pins and bells stuck all over their body. And this is happening. They can't even think. They can't do anything. And we want to know why we're having problems. Okay. This is why, because we ignore the judgments. We ignore the statutes, the ordinances. We ignore everything the Father says. This is right down the middle, chapter 4. This is the foundational 9 weeks in. This is the foundational center of this offering. Right here today. And if you don't get this, you're not going to get anything. You cannot add and subtract from the Father's law. If you're not under His jurisdiction, then you're going to be one of those that's going to be weeping and gnashing your teeth. And you better get a very high-powered sunscreen. SPF, is that what it's called? Something like that. You better get like a 10 million SPF. Because I understand that lake of fire is real hot. And I understand it's not a lot of fun. And I'm trying not to go there. And I'm trying to assist anybody else that doesn't want to go to that lake of fire to repent, to return to the Father's law. Let's see what the Christ has to say about this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Now let's look at the thing. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. Destroy means to utterly eliminate, to do away with, to make of no avail, etc. You know, he's not come to eliminate the law. Look it up in your dictionary. Now, then you get these preachers, and here's where they hang, but to fulfill. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So they want to sit there and say, see, he fulfilled. Two different words. You got a phrase, to fulfill, and you got fulfilled. If you look it up, the word T-O, to, in front of fulfill means reinstitute, sustain, cause to happen, etc. Now, go to your older Bibles, that actually says to fulfill the law. It doesn't say that he eliminated the law. It means he's come to reinstitute it. And he will. Now, a lot of people have been ignoring it for a long time, but we're getting ready to move back to his law. And he's going to be down here not too long a time. And he's going to bring 200,000 of his top-notch warrior angels. They're going to have some sharp swords. And the people that aren't keeping his law and don't want to hear about it, they're going to do some slicing and dicing. Look at the very next verse after that, Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot nor one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Okay, did your preacher or your favorite pontificator tell you that heaven and earth have passed? Well, if so, how are you listening to me? How are you breathing? How are you just getting up in the morning and going to bed at night if heaven and earth has passed? One jot nor one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Do you know what a jot and a tittle is? In dummy-down type language, it means the smallest thing. That's a dummy-down type thinking. In reality, the Father's language, called the ancient language of the angels, if we were to say, we'll call an A a letter. But in reality, what an A would have been called a sign letter. Now, if you drew a square and you put that A dead in the center of that square, it would have a certain meaning. Now, if it was raised a little bit of a notch above center, straight up and down, it would be something stronger to the positive. And if it was a little bit lower out of center, it'd be a little bit less strong. And then it could be to the left of center, or it could be to the right of center. Now, that's in reality what jots and tittles were. Just a fine hair's movement, left or right or up or down. But we'll just satisfy with, you know, just the smallest points, you know, and not go into all that great detail. Golly, who wants to be so nitpicking as to study ancient language? Not one jot nor one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Well, did your preacher, did your radio people that talk about the Bible all the time, did they tell you that the lion is laid down with the lamb? Has the Lord come back with his 200,000 angels? Have the seven thunders gone down? No. All has not been fulfilled. And all won't be fulfilled even when the Christ returns. It's going to keep that the Father's law always is there. It will never end at any time ever. Forever and ever the Father's law is. There is no end to it. That's what the Christ is trying to tell you. Let's read the very next verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Wow. Break one of these least commandments. It didn't say break one of the 10 commandments, one of the least. Now, is someone going to tell me that one of the so-called 10 commandments is a least commandment? Can you use some common sense there? They're all major. But here the language is least commandment. Could that be like, let's see, men aren't supposed to shave around their face? Find that, you know, in the Bible and other places. Could that be something like that? Could it be something like where it tells you in the Bible that, you know, you're supposed to take your half moons and your moons out of your ears, get rid of your nose rings, get rid of your ear rings? Where the Bible says you shall make no puncture marks in your body. Now, you made that mistake, no big deal. Take out the puncturing item. Let your whole grow back together and say, Lord, I'm sorry, and I'm never going to stick another piece of metal in my body. Not supposed to put any marks on your body. Okay, you didn't know about it. You went ahead and got a tattoo. Fine, you can't, you know, you don't need to, you know, go get some stupid surgery. Say, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't know, I wasn't paying attention, and I'm going to tell everybody I should have never gotten a tattoo. That's all we have to do. We have to repent. But we cannot repent if we don't know what we did wrong. And if we don't know what we did wrong, we can't stop doing it. That is what we have to do. And our failure to repent will cause us to go to the lake of fire. Are your profound leaders of ignorance telling you this stuff? No, they're not. They all need to be figuratively tarred and feathered. Don't do it literally. It's too painful. It was actually hot oil, hot tar and feathers, and most people died. We would figuratively run them off the pulpit. Tell them you're too stupid to be standing up there. You can't read. You lie to us. You haven't done due diligence. Tell them, stand up and say, you're an idiot, preacher. You're an idiot, congressman. You're an idiot, deacon. And you tell them they're an idiot after you read them the good stuff. And they say, we don't have to do that anymore. Now you tell them you're an idiot. Get out of here. Get rid of them. Or if they don't want to change, leave them. Separate. Get away from them. That is what the message of God is of the Father. Excuse me. Thank God. Separate from evil. Root the evil out. Determine what it is. Get away from it. Each of us has an opportunity to be great. It is up to you to begin the rest of your life. you can sit there and you're and listening on your internet or to your radio satellite receiver or however you're listening, and you can feel like you're a nobody because you're by yourself, because you can't find anybody else to be around that, that thinks the way you are and the way that you want to think. All you have to do is bow to your master, the Christ, and say, Lord, help me learn these laws. Help me come under your jurisdiction. And then you will begin to be great. Now, if you just want to say those words, well, you might be able to con me, but you aren't going to con him. It's got to be in you. You got to mean it. You got to understand that what you're getting ready to do is not going to be like walking through a rose garden. We've got a lot of dirt on us that we need to wash off. And we're going to be washing it off. There's no problem. You know, the Lord helps us. And my blessings have been phenomenal since I started on this path. I got rid of tons and tons of money. I decided to become a poor man. And I have got more than I ever dreamed. Now, I've had a couple of rough years at times, no doubt about that. But somehow, something happened. I live on the side of a mountain in the middle of nowhere, Arkansas. I look across a valley to another mountain ridge, you know, it's called 1,800 feet, you know, mountains here in Arkansas, and it's beautiful. I get to watch the when the storms come in and when the storms are leaving, and I don't have car horns and city and all this, and there's no crime because everybody keeps a gun here. I wouldn't trade what I have for $1 billion in gold and 10 of the most beautiful women in the world. Wouldn't trade it. Especially if you made me go to New York or Atlanta or San Francisco or Los Angeles or Dallas, Texas, or any of these big idiot place cities. And I'm sorry if you live in an idiot city. But if you're living in these big giant cities where they've jammed everybody in like a rat, what do you think happens to humans when you get jammed in? You start acting like rats and you start eating each other. You need to get out of the big cities. You need to wake up and see what time it is. You need to start following the Father's law. Remember the part where the Christ says, when you see rumors of wars and earthquakes and plagues and all this kind of stuff, he says, flee, those of you that be in Judea, flee to the mountains. And pray that your flight not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, which means the appointed time. Let's see, are you in the mountains if you're living in Atlanta? How about Jersey? San Francisco, L.A.? Dallas? You in the mountains? It's not me that's telling you this, it's your master, the Christ. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Jeremiah 48:10. Your leaders are profound ignorance, your pontificators, your preachers, your congressmen. They want to be deceitful. They want to spread honey. They want to get your vote. They want to say soothing things to you. They're soothsayers. They're not doing it correctly. They're not telling you like it is. You need to start saying, get rid of these people. Run them out of office. The words of the Lord are mighty arrows. Our sword is our courage. Is it not time to use the arrows and the swords on the leaders of profound ignorance? Think about it. I received a mighty blessing this past week. A man called me, and he told me that his wife did not like to use the word God, because she said that spelled backwards, it's dog. And that she was kind of concerned that people would be upset with that. I was so proud to hear from a man by his first name John, last initial is L. So proud that his wife had figured that out on her own. That the ancient language was read from right to left. When we say God, we are actually, in the old style, saying dog. And I slip on a somewhat regular basis. But I was so happy to hear that John L., his wife, learned that. And I asked him to give her a real big hug that night. And I'm sure hope John L. did do that for his wife. And, you know, L. is just the first initial of his last name. I'm not going to say his last name out of the air because I didn't ask permission. But I received a blessing to hear that from another man, that it, his wife had learned that. And I offer you, and sweetheart, if I had a chance to give you a hug right now today or the other night, I'd give you a hug too, because I believe y'all are listening. And that makes my heart sing. Ladies and gentlemen, courage is something that you continually build. You do a little, you get a little more. And that causes a little more. Find your courage. Find your courage in the Father's laws. It is our game plan. It is our playbook. It is how the words of the Christ will come true when he says, ye shall handle serpents. Next week, we're going to do a very important chapter. And it's part B of Methods of Deception. It's one that has messed a lot of people up for years, and it's not too hard. This week, you were given three chapters to read, chapters 21, 22, and 23 of Exodus, and to contemplate them. That is a little bit of homework. Your failure to do due diligence shall not necessarily cause a crisis on my behalf. I thank you all for each of you all that are continuing in this adventure. There's a lot of people that have come and looked a little bit and said, oh, this is too hard. For those of you that are continuing, I praise and bless the Lord. Do your due diligence. My name is Jerry Kirk, and I do live in Searcy County, Arkansas. And you can find my address on freedom-school.com. And I'm speaking to the government, all levels of government. And I'm speaking to Mossad, and CIA, and NSA, and every other one of you Canaanite organizations. This is Jerry Kirk, and I enjoy when the bear gets in within 2 to 3 feet of my eyes. So come anytime you want. Come see me before you come see one of my brothers and sisters. Some of us don't give a rat's toenail about your goofy, bully, chicken, skinny butt. My name is Jerry Kirk, and I trust in the Lord on rainy days and sunshine. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to have a very, very wonderful tomorrow, first day of the year. 2 weeks, we'll be going into the calendar. Thank you so much. Y'all have a great day today. I've had a wonderful week.
Nice and easy does it every time, like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it.